And now, the greatest movie ever made, according to a new poll from the British Film Institute's Sight and Sound magazine. We'll tell you what that film is in a moment, but first, a bit of background on this prestigious poll. It comes out every 10 years, asking film experts from around the world to rank movies. The list includes plenty of cult classics, including Studio Ghibli's Spirited Away, Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo, Orson Welles' Citizen Kane, and Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather.
You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me Godfather. Instead, you come into my house on the day my daughter's to be married and you ask me to do murder. Money.
A great film, for sure, but not the greatest, according to the new poll. That honor goes to, drumroll please, Jean Dielman, 23 Quai de Commerce, 1080 Brussels. That's a 1975 drama from Belgian director Chantal Akerman. This is the first time that a female director tops the poll, which also includes films by several black directors. Let's bring in Sight and Sound's managing editor, Isabel Stevens, who joins us from Lewes, England. Isabel, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So in the 2012 list, Chantal Akerman's film was at number 36. The new poll has it at number 1. First of all, talk about this film and what makes it the greatest film of all time.
So Jean Dielman follows a middle-aged widow, housewife, and mother of a teenage boy as she goes about her sort of daily domestic life. So, I mean, we might think that as being quite unremarkable, shopping, cooking, cleaning, but also it shows her doing sex work and you see men arriving at her house. And then you also see long scenes of her peeling potatoes and things. And what's really fascinating about this film is as you watch it, you notice more and more things about her routine and gradually you observe her breakdown. So this is a film, for me, that completely reinvents cinematic language. It exists completely in its own world, which is what I think a sort of greatest film of all time should do. And it reevaluates what we think of as epic. I think if I said to you, what is an epic film? You might say something like, oh, it was, you know, a Western or a great period drama or, you know, something with bombastic music. And
Lawrence of Arabia, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. Magnificent visuals and vistas. Or maybe The Godfather, you know, a story that tells you sort of like the hidden life of, you know, it's really a reflection on the American dream, isn't it? And so I think what's great about this film is that it shows you, it reframes the epic. So, you know, a woman's daily life. Well, this can be epic too. Most of this film takes place in her apartment. And, you know, this is not a space that we necessarily think of as, you know, really particularly interesting in cinema. And I think it's absolutely fantastic that Chantal Akerman made this film when she was just 25.
Right. We mentioned that in 2012, it was at number 36. Now it's at number 1. What's changed that has elevated this film to number 1?
Well, I think a few things have changed. So first of all, in 2012, we widened the voting pool. But this time around, we've widened it even more. So last time, 800 critics, and not just critics, but curators, archivists, film programmers, took part in our poll. And this time around, 1,600 did. And that's from all over the world. So obviously, we've widened the voting pool. We've made it more reflective of, you know, the broad range of people out there working in the film industry. So it's much more diverse anyway. So there are more women taking part, more people of color, all of, you know, more people from all around the world. And then also, you've got the fact that, you know, female directors and you know, many other previously marginalized groups have been reappraised in the last 10 years. And I think a lot of people have come to this film for the first time and really rediscovered it. So you can see the sort of vast changes that have taken place, not just in kind of film culture, but in kind of the wider world sort of seeping into the list, I think, too.
Right. We should note that the previous number one film on the list was Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo. That dropped to number 2. Before that, Orson Welles' Citizen Kane held the top spot for 50 years. It's now down to number 3. And another intriguing point, 4 of the films included in the list were released in the past decade. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it's 4 more than the last poll done in 2012. So those newer films include Academy Award winners Barry Jenkins' Moonlight, Bong Joon-ho's Parasite, and this one, Get Out by Jordan Peele.
Where are those keys, Rose?
You know I can't give you the keys, right, babe?
Also included on the list from this past decade is a French film, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, directed by Céline Sciamma. Why do so few newer films make it on the list?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I think a lot of our contributors to the poll would say, wow, there are so many new films on the list. And I will come back at you and say, you know, I mean, the earliest film I think in the top 100 is from like the mid-1920s. And so it's, you know, films from the silent era, but cinema was invented in 1895. You know, the films from Lois Weber or D.W. Griffiths. It's really fascinating to sort of think about maybe what's also, you know, not as kind of current in people's minds as more recent films.
Right. Another thing that I'm intrigued by, we're watching films in different ways now than once upon a time. There's a lot more streaming, of course. And I'm just curious, how does this list reflect that big change in terms of the way people watch films?
I think, I mean, it's fascinating, isn't it? Let's think, in 1952, when this poll first started, the contributors would have only been able to watch films in cinemas. Right. And now people can watch any film they want at the tips of our fingertips. So I think that all of the people who contributed are the kind of people who would go out and seek out films. But I do think kind of streaming and, you know, the wider availability of films has, you know, really had a positive impact on our list this time around.
And talk a little bit about what it means to be included on this list. What makes a film a greatest film of all time?
Well, it is a tricky question, isn't it? Because it's so subjective. So what I think of as great is probably quite different to what you think of as great.
Right.
But I mean, ultimately, a film has to be innovative, doesn't it? It has to do something, for me, that isn't being done elsewhere, and it does it better. Yeah. I think it has to be superbly made. You have to think, wow, there's somebody here who really knows their craft. And I think your experience of it as somebody watching it, you basically have to have that realization of like, wow, I'm watching an art form here.
Right. So cinema is an art form that is obviously taken into account in this list, as opposed to films that are super popular.
Well, there are a lot of popular films in there. I mean, I think it's interesting that a lot of the films in the list, like, I mean, something like Citizen Kane, that wasn't popular when it came out. The studio was very dismissive of it, and it didn't do very well at the box office. And it was only really because of film critics that it really came to light again. So, you know, I think it really shows the importance of exercises like this, because, you know, ultimately, you know, I think ranking films is a bit silly, but it also gets us talking about films and maybe gets us thinking about greatness and lots of different issues. And it also makes everybody curious. And through this list, I will discover films that I haven't seen, but so also may an 18-year-old who hasn't really seen many films on this list at all.
I completely agree with you, by the way. I mean, there's sort of two ways to think about this. It's like, oh my God, the greatest movie of all time. It does sound sort of silly, but as you say, it gets us talking about films in a really interesting way. So before I let you go, I have to know, did your film make the list? And if so, what is it? Your favorite film of all time.
Oh, goodness. If I was asking to pick one film, I suppose the film I'm happiest to see in the list is My Neighbor Totoro, which is just an absolutely beautiful film about two girls who move to the countryside and they discover this magical beast called a Totoro.
Totoro? Is that what your name is? Totoro? Yep, that's your name, all right.
I'm absolutely over the moon that this film is in the list.
All right. Well, that's Isabel Stevens. She's the managing editor of the British Film Institute's Sight and Sound magazine. Isabel, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, Jane, greatest films of all time. What's your favorite movie?
Goodness. So after that highfalutin list, dare I reveal my lowbrow taste in film? Okay. When Harry Met Sally.
Ah.
Because, you know, I'll have what she's having.
Of course.
What about you, Anthony?
Well, so many great films I love. It's hard to pick one, but I guess it depends on my mood. But if it's pure escapist pleasure, it's pretty hard to beat The Big Lebowski.
Ah. Okay.
Right? Which,
yeah,
I note with some outrage, did not make the cut on this very prestigious list.
The dude abides. I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that. It's good knowing he's out there, the dude, taking her easy for all us sinners.
Yes.
The dude abides. We are so easy to please.
Oh, man,
we?
Doesn't take much, I tell you.